I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the NXT Spring Breaking Dude Review. We are the Dadley Boys of What Culture. I'm Adam Wilborn, joined by Michael Ampler and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything happened on last night's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review the show formerly known as NXT 2.0.
Oh, I don't know. AEW
Collision. Pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete. The bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamlet Sidgwick to review last night's episode of NXT Spring Breaking, dude.
Oh, bro, it's just like, dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude. Just like, you pull in, and you just get spit right out of them. And you just drop in and just smack the lip, whoop, drop down, snap, ah, and then after that, you just drop in, you just ride the barrel and get pitted, so pitted like that.
What's pitted? I assume just like thrown off your board.
Yeah, like wipe out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's longer on a video, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Feels it.
What a show this was. I loved it. I had a great time with this.
It was...
Disagree.
Really like three of the matches. Not a bad return from what, like, the five advertised.
Yeah.
Not enough nonsense. Like, never is on these ones.
Well, there was some.
I got very excited about, not quite a PLE, but it's a mini TV PLE.
Mm.
But it wasn't this one. It was the graphic dropping for the next one.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
There was this episode of NXT reminded me of Dynamite.
Oh.
And what I mean by that is, I get the announced card, and I know pretty much what the whole thing looks like. And then, about midway through the show, something awful pops up in the bottom left-hand corner. And you go, what? And where it's usually, and you know, he's had some good matches and some good moments in AEW, but it was always, you know, oh, well, it's Jay Lethal's going to lose a gentleman's three in about 15 minutes. Yeah. So, I don't need to watch that. There is no need for this to happen. Great. Oh, well, it's Baron Corbin versus Lexus King.
It was two impromptu matches and they both stunk on this show. But, like, two impromptu, you chose to put them on last minute and they both stunk.
Yep.
Beach Brawl was class.
Really good.
Loved that. And the two title matches. And a match potentially setting up a cup match, I suppose.
Something you've argued is more important than a title.
Oh, absolutely. These little belts that they've got.
Trophies are bigger, aren't they?
Exactly. Thank you. But we'll get to that in due course. Let's start at the beginning of this show, because this is a two-night affair, of course.
Does that mean, then, that the AEW title is probably bigger than the WWE title, so it's better?
We start with the GMs, Adam Pearce, the SmackDown GM. I forget what his name is. He's on a Zoom call or whatever. And Ava, she hasn't got a surname. She's the Rock's daughter and the general manager of NXT. They're very excited for Spring Break. Indeed. They're also looking forward to the draft. Nick says he's got an eye on a few of the stars of NXT. Postman Pearce says he's got an eye on a few people too. But they'll all be watching the NXT title match. Very excited. Big build throughout this show for Dragunov versus Trick.
They couldn't say, like, oh, yeah, we're looking out with three brands, three drafts. Like, Ava, she hasn't got a surname. She's the Rock's daughter. sort of carries stroke, which then, yeah, me too. I draft Cody Rhodes. Suck it. No, didn't see that coming, did you? What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do? Fire me?
Huh? I'll get my dad on you.
Yeah, she talks about how tonight is about who's going to step up in NXT ahead of the draft, and confidently says that NXT will never be the same after tonight.
It's regrettably true. Like, we touched on it yesterday, but I'm keen to hear your thoughts, as I imagine our viewers and listeners are.
Can I play it one more time?
Yeah.
Hey, Dijak, take those stupid sunglasses off. We're inside.
Wagner Watch.
Come Tuesday.
Sort of goes international now, Wagner Watch, doesn't it? Because it's we'll still be watching.
Oh, yeah.
We just don't know where Cal Bloom is going to surface next.
I am genuinely going to follow that man everywhere.
Yeah. Mm. And then so I was in a bit of a sad place after that news broke. And then, you know, you just suddenly start going, there's a lot of people suddenly tweeting, specifically tagging me and stuff. And I was like, oh, no. And then I think I saw that, and then I think you immediately text me. This is yesterday. I just got out like B&Q or something.
Sorry.
And I was like, no. And I had a feeling, to be honest, it was coming, the way he was being utilized on the main roster. I was desperately scrabbling around for, I think on the draft video I said, yeah, they should draft him back to NXT to fight for the title. I was trying to do something with him because he was doing now about
pronouns power, talking about
Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes released, and if you didn't know about it, what a ridiculous decision. What a ridiculous job they've done with him. Like, Cameron Grimes, a great. Someone called it the Honky Stonks Man, because you know Stonks and all that kind of stuff. Great character. A joy to watch get beat as a heel. Love it to see him win as a babyface. Patter out the ass. He could really go. He could
cool
really,
finish.
Really go.
Like the cave in.
Cool finish. He could wrestle. He could talk. He was like, if you're a writer worth your salt and you have something like the Honky Stonks Man gimmick, or generally the very essence of a Cameron Grimes and how he can make a fool of him. Sometimes he could be nasty. If you've got a creative bone in your body, you should be able to make that person a fixture on episodic television. What an unbelievable utility player he was. And I tell you what, like, for my sins, I saw a lot or a decent amount of Trevor Lee in PWG, but not elsewhere, like in CWF or whatever. There are people who are really, really in the weeds of that era of independent wrestling who maintain he was one of the very best in the world on his day, in his prime, having the run of a lifetime across every indie. And they are like, we're thinking for the WWE mid-card TV role, he would have been perfect. People are adamant that he could have got even more out of him. And just another point, did you see the actual video?
Yeah.
The guy was absolutely inconsolable. It was a horrible watch.
So it's a really emotional story about him. You know, the last thing I think he said to his dad was getting signed by WWE. Yeah. And you know, you can see the passion that he has for WWE. There's no malice in him about being let go. He was complimentary about everyone there. But I did like the bit where he said, this is going to, as if he needed it. He's been, you know, he's always, like, look at the transit. When he moved to the main roster, he could have just been the guy who was awesome in NXT, but he got in even better shape. He said it's going to light a fire under his arse, and I think we touched a little bit on it on the Dynamite preview, as you mentioned, Sid.
It'll take, yeah, go on.
But he's, yeah, I think, I hope, and I expect that big company is going to take a punt on him because he deserves
it. There's only one more in this landscape. With all greatest will in the world, it doesn't matter how good you are if it's not an AEW or WWE at this point. Nobody will get. I hope he shows up in AEW. I know.
He made chicken salad in a worse version of TNA. Like that Impact run. Like
it did.
I don't think it was what got him signed.
But the conditions
certainly
don't exist for that anymore. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's AEW nothing. In terms of generating interest, buzz, like, if you can't work a streak of great matches, who cares? I mean, Danielson Ospreay is happening, you know? Like, I really think he should go to AEW. Mm. And I know that I'm the worst. I'm a hypocrite.
We're doing it again.
Doing it again.
Stop signing people.
One more. Just one more. I get it. I totally get it. I'm a hypocrite when I say he signs too many wrestlers. But anyway, there's a more fun thing to talk about.
I think he could do some good stuff. Like him and Joe Hendry going at each other could be loads of fun.
That could be loads of fun. But genuinely, it could.
Best luck to him. Keep an eye out for that, of course.
And Vaughn.
And Vaughn, yes. Anyway, we opened the show last night with the triple threat for the Women's World title. It was Roxanne Perez, the champion, versus the former champion, Lyra Valkyria, and the creepy Tatum Paxley, who even did something like, as part of, you know, like, here's the challenger, here's the champion sort of thing. Yeah. The bell rings, Tatum offered Roxy a hand, but Lyra just immediately goes after her, of course, and stomps her down in the corner. Valkyria got sent outside by Perez, who looks a bit weirded out by Tatum Paxley, and they're all on the floor. Valkyria hit a Northern Light suplex for two on Paxley. Perez made the save. Lyra rolled up Tatum even for two. Went up top, knocked to the floor by Roxy, who hit a high crossbody on Tatum, but Tatum reversed that into a cover and then threw Roxy to the outside to take us to break. We come back with Lyra Valkyria powerbombing both of them out of the corner. Valkyria gets a fisherman's buster for two on Paxley. Perez cross-faces Valkyria and uses the bad arm, of course. But then Paxley does the same thing to Perez to stop the submission. Paxley countered Pop Rocks, sent Perez towards Valkyria, who hit her with a roundhouse kick. Paxley executed a really nice 450 splash on Valkyria. But as she goes to the cover, Perez jumps in to break it up and not steal the pin, but cradle Paxley with a jackknife for the 1-2-3. Roxanne Perez retains.
Just like a surprisingly dynamic spot fest this was. Like, yeah. I know there was like body part stuff done.
Like Yoda.
Yeah, with the arm. Like. It's a good match. I didn't think it'd be that much, this.
No.
Roxanne Perez impresses me now in an entirely different way than she has previously, because this character is not her at all. Whether and like she's not doing corrupted stuff, but she's kind of corrupt adjacent, because that's just her heel expressions, and she's got to like overact everything in the sort of attempt to be villainous at all times, even when it's difficult, because she's the best wrestler, and the best wrestler is the champion. That's a hard act to play when you're being told to be heel. So like every now and
one
then,
of the best baby faces that you have.
Yeah. So like something will occur that she doesn't like, and all she can do is growl at it. So it's a bit off-putting, mm-hmm. but she's great in spite of it. It's force of will stuff. And Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley had a really, really good night. I thought their chemistry was strong. All of a sudden, it feels like they weren't just paired together for the sake of it. It's like, oh, they're quite good working together. There's a singles match out here that will probably be better than people realize, and you were shown flashes of it here. So yeah, there wasn't much of a story to cling on to. But as far as Spotfest goes, where I thought there was going to be a title change, maybe that helped. Mm-hmm. I did think Roxanne Perez was going to lose, and I thought Tatum Paxley was going to win. So I think it made the near falls a bit hotter from my subjective experience. A pretty impressive over-delivery, this.
I honestly thought the last 2 minutes were genuinely really, really well worked and borderline exhilarating. Mm. I couldn't predict who was going to win. I thought that everyone's footwork and ring positioning was genuinely class in terms of being in position, making these near falls feel as arresting as possible. And my God, there was a kick thrown by Lyra Valkyria at Roxanne Perez, I think, who ducked, where I'm thinking, your head will get taken clean off if that connects.
It's the clothesline rule that you were talking about.
There was none of that in this match, was there? None of it.
Intent in the last 2 minutes in particular, genuinely really, really, really good. The last 2 minutes was like a maelstrom. Almost loved it.
Mm. What does this make you think with Roxanne Perez retaining about her going to the main roster, Sige?
Well, why was she on Raw?
Yeah.
It can't have been a red herring. Like the post-WrestleMania Raw. Let's do a little red herring for Spring Break Part 1. No. So, I don't know. It's weird. She could always drop it. I don't know. Oh, shut up, man.
You got him.
Got us.
We get a vignette of the likes of Jade Cargill, Grayson Waller, Austin Theory predicting who they think is going to win the world title match at the end of the night. And then Fallon Henley's in the locker room with Thea Hale, asking her about the whole situation with Chase. Everything's been sorted. And now Thea's going to deal with JC next week. Says there's so many great people that have her back. Fallon goes to talk, and then Jada Park goes, oh, shut up! You're the most popular loner I've ever seen in my life. And they get into it and set up a match for later on.
Never stand in a line with two of your friends in front of whispering wrestlers in those lockers unless you want to get in a fight on the show.
Yes.
It's a new car park. And you absolutely have to stand one by one.
I love how just the internalized misogyny, quite frankly, yeah. of that NXT creative team, because it's always the women's locker room. And they're always having a natter.
Yeah.
And then they always hate each other.
Shawn Michaels has got to say, who we got for the Seg 2 Gab Fest?
Yak, 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 yak. Cat fight, cat fight, cat fight. See you again next week, girls.
Say Fallon Henley's a loner. I feel like there's one man who's always holding the candle for her. So.
Love them dropping.
Oh, the little breadcrumbs. They're oof.
And she lost
there
as well.
There was not a breadcrumb dropped.
But she lost yet again. It's almost like she just hasn't got that supportive presence in her life. That was being alluded to.
No one's being alluded to.
Other than Brooks Jensen.
We get a vignette for Tyson DuPont and Tyreek Igwe, who are going to debut next week. They're not afraid to go pound to pound with any team. Any team that steps up will get their ass kicked, basically.
Right. Isn't DuPont a name you probably don't want to call a wrestler?
Yes, I think I'm on the same. Is it a Foxcatcher thing?
Yeah.
Kurt Angle and... Oh, never, I didn't even consider that until right. Oh, boy. Oh, well.
Well, they seem like nice lads. Looking forward to seeing what they do next week.
Yeah.
For now, our boys, because on the main roster, our boys, this is because sensing that they're not going to be liked for much longer, and that's great. The Creed brothers are there, and Ivan Isle as well. Diamond Mine, the only ones left. They're interviewed, and they're excited for Trick Williams.
There was someone who was in Diamond Mine, though.
Yeah, he looked like a kind of like a Jack Simon Beg with long hair.
Only thing I liked about reviewing NXT in the pandemic.
Yeah, I've noticed about this guy.
Do the line, Wilbon.
Hey, whoop that trick. And then...
Oh, my God.
We get an announcement, Michael Sidgwick, for an upcoming premium live event coming away. Best of all, and I can officially announce the three of us are going to be there. We're not, but...
we might.
You know, if there's like a billionaire who's watching this and thought, oh, I'm going to treat the boys. If you want to fly us out to Viva Las Vegas at the UFC's Apex facility, because you know what goes down there, don't you? After spring break, dude.
I can't remember.
It's time... time for NXT Battleground. You're grounded! Battlegrounded, one more Viva Las Vegas. Cha-ching! I need to work on it.
Every single time, that's it now.
Yeah.
Bright light city, gonna
drop back. Yeah. I'm so excited for that.
Like, all joking aside, it's I love these trips. I love America. It's an unrealistic pitch.
Yes.
Right? We cannot justify going to Las Vegas as a Dadley team to only cover one show.
And it is it's the biggest nothing else. It's the biggest show of the weekend, you could say.
If there was other stuff going on,
yeah,
maybe we could. Only discovered this today.
Yeah, do you wanna...
I'm kind of being an asshole about it. It's kicking off at 7:30. What finishes at 7? Double or nothing. Get in the Uber. Go straight to the UFC Apex. To watch it. Oh, I forgot the show again. What was it?
It's the Battleground. You're grounded. Battleground in Viva Las Vegas. He's won this time.
I wonder how many, you know, there has been a lot of conversation, thanks to a podcast I half recommend by Voices of Wrestling about media management and PR.
Really good.
Yeah, strong stuff. Annoying. and it can be both. All these things can be true.
Yeah.
But within that podcast, they make a point about WWE's...
I really liked it.
...management. Yeah, Sidgwick loved it. I loved it too, not the presenter. The all these things can be true. The management of PR, again, filling me with this information, this annoying presenter, about like how WWE's reputation is massaged by the rest of the media, of which we are a part of and everybody
What's
is.
What's it got to do with anything?
What it's got to do with...
You've got this in your asshole.
What it's got to do
you
with...
need a white bit.
No,
I don't know what's going on here.
I'll tell you what's going on. Which members of the media... will leave the AEW scrum early to get to the UFC Apex in order to maintain that WWE. You see, I knew I was going somewhere.
Okay.
I'll just shoot at an annoying guy who makes great points. Like, it's...
Shut up.
I love my opinions, am I not?
And I don't want beef.
There's a lot of great wrestling podcasts out there. My views do not reflect those of Michael Sidgwick.
Thank you.
He likes the other those guys way more than I ever will. But, like, I just think it's interesting. That room is full of, like, prominent wrestling media, more prominent than we unjustifiably are. And...
What are you doing?
I just think our coverage is good.
Yes,
I think we deserve to be in the room. I don't think there's anything wrong.
You're underselling us.
But anyway, I just think it's interesting. It'd be interesting to see who, because that
you can't get any better than number one.
And the dead man is number one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like that. I was looking into the tickets thing for Battleground, and you have to get like this sort of UFC Apex Battleground pass. So they're going to be issued. I don't.
Oh my God.
It's not going to
so
be
many
like,
great words in that sentence.
No,
There's less than 1,000 people in the building. It's like a production test for WWE. It's why they're doing it, because they could use this venue theoretically as part of the TKO.
It's funny. But the biggest show of the year then.
It gets announced that WWE is counter-programming Double or Nothing. And then we were having a spirited but very respectful debate, Hamflet, about whether to be AEW is to be constantly under attack. Well, I think I won.
I thought if NXT was no threat, you can't call it an attack. Which is it?
Well, it's going to gently chip away at the coverage and the buzz and the...
Well, if NXT is so trash, I'm not talking about you here. If NXT is so trash, then there's going to be no chipping away taking place.
Well, it's a WWE product and they're the market leader and they could have done it any old time they wanted.
Maybe their developmental
brand. Guess what? As we always do at Battleground, Cody Rhodes defends the undisputed title.
Oh, God, imagine if they do like one of them Cheese Night Wars at NXT's in this tiny free UFC building. Send them all out there. Dead man's back. Riding his back through Vegas.
Why are they doing this venue on that day?
Well, because AEW are running Double or Nothing.
Yeah, correct.
They're not going head-to-head with it.
No.
They're giving them a chance.
They're giving... you can like both companies and you can go to both company shows.
That's true, actually.
You ought to see when they're the worst.
That's factually correct.
If you've got a heart or a soul, it makes it really quite hard to like WWE. Carry on with the review, guys.
It's a really great video, that Voice of Wrestling thing. Earnestly, give it a watch.
It was the 3-on-3 match next. Probably the best 3-on-3 match I've seen this week. The D'Angelo family.
I'm not, like,
versus no
emotionally invested to the point where I'll get defensive.
I don't know why
about the House of Black.
Yeah,
versus Mark Briscoe, Eddie Kingston, and Edge. I liked it. I thought it went 3 minutes too long.
I was thinking, like, Wilbon would do this bit when you had the best of seven series.
I really liked... The Elite versus Pac and FTR.
Mm-hmm.
It was great, wasn't it?
Mm.
Was the collision thing good, where Brian got, like, had the stitches?
I was lower on the...
Bunkhouse
than... A few too many moves.
It's a wild old thing to do, isn't it? Smash your head open ahead of, like, working the...
Yeah.
It's very Brian.
No, it's very Danielson. It's very Dragon. It's so Dragon. I liked... The Natural Nightmares versus Butcher and the Blade more.
Ah, that's an all-time fave, that, isn't it?
Yeah, great.
Speaking of all-time faves, the D'Angelo family versus No Quarter Catch Crew. Brawl straight away. Dempsey grabbed a triangle choke on Tony D, but that got broken up with a powerbomb. Tony D gets Damon Kemp into the corner. Hot tag to Stax. Everything breaks down.
Forget he's a wrestler. Every time he wrestles.
Everyone ends up on the floor, basically, apart from Damon Kemp, who hits a big flip dive onto the pile to take us to a break. When we come back, Stax is isolated. He's in trouble. But the Dan gets the hot tag, sends everyone flying. Kemp and Bourne get hit with belly-to-bellies. There's a massive spine buster to Dempsey. Kemp tries to break it up, but Tony moves, and Kemp double stomps Dempsey. Tony eventually gets laid out. There's a two count in there for the No Quarter Catch Crew. Kemp hit, I think, like, is it like an angle slam into a neck breaker as well for a near fall. Also, there's a really nice save by Luca Crucifino, who hit like an Arn Anderson-esque spine buster in there. But in the end, it was a spine buster actually that won the match for the family. Dempsey got shoved into the ropes by Tony and came back to a huge spine buster for the 1-2-3. Pinning, well, one of, I suppose, technically, but the Heritage Cup champion.
Finish came out of nowhere. The match, in terms of its excitement level and how it increased, did not really increase. It was just kind of like...
Can't go higher than 100, baby.
It's on a flat line, and then...
Do you know what it was 100 noise?
Yeah.
Here's how I would describe the noise and the level of excitement. think about how my pitch changes here. Is there? Yeah. And then Tony T did a big spot on all of them have conveniently assembled. We'll catch that in the dub.
That's the problem. They don't catch the next team.
No, it was just there, wasn't it? Nice. Some moves and some order.
This was no good. And again,
disagree.
The Heritage Cup.
Oh yeah.
It's just not.
Oh my God.
Oh, sorry, is that not you?
It's not least like what we're doing here, right? Within the confines of kayfabe, the Heritage Cup, something that you can win through winning matches, is being deemed adequate payment by the mafiosos for disappearing Drew Gulak.
Mm.
That's still what we're doing here, isn't it?
Don't mention it anymore, though. It's just going to be.
He just wants the cup.
Next week. It's going to be he pinned one of the Heritage Cup champions, and therefore he's getting a Heritage Cup shot. Why are those two interacting in the first place? Those two groups. It doesn't matter. Don't think about it.
It's such a Well, I've got big things for the family. We've lost the tag belts, but it's all right because I'm looking up. I'm going to win the world title. Mm. Fails at mission.
What's better than the world title trophy?
It's weak.
We've just got to keep him busy until the
draft. What's your favourite Heritage Cup match of all time?
All of them just really, really strong. Actually, probably when Charlie Dempsey beat... was it? I love rounds matches. I've always said this from day one.
What's your favourite thing about the rounds match as a genre?
Probably the break in between the rounds, or the fact that round three is always picture in picture. You never see a second of it.
Sort of. I do like coming back from the break to find that we've skipped a whole round. It feels great. It feels like you've won one.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. We're close to the end.
Oh, thank God. Right. Yeah.
So you like that feeling, yeah?
Mm.
It's good.
You know what? I've been stewing on this ever since you mentioned it. I'm going to go and have a chat with the bigwigs downstairs, see if we can get some tickets for NXT Battleground in Las Vegas sorted. You keep talking about this show.
Don't just wait until the podcast.
I'm not having it. I'm going to go and have a word with them now.
Just waiting.
Yeah, I'm not fighting this one. I want him to do that.
No, 40 minutes. 40 minutes. Just wait 40 bloody minutes.
I'm sure when he comes back to the office in seconds, I imagine he'll have good news for us and he'll have got those tickets.
I just think he can wait 40 goddamn minutes. All he has to do is wait 40 minutes. I mean, there's no rush. Then again, there was for Clash at the Castle.
If he comes back and says no, we'll just flip the desks.
Huge rush at Clash at the Castle.
Yeah!
Hey, Saxon! Long time no see.
What do you think of the old match at dude?
Congratulations on a well-earned victory.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Hey, you always said Heritage Cup best championship, right?
You did.
No, Wilborn did. Stacks, have you said this?
We all said it, right, guys?
I didn't mind.
I agree.
Why is it better than the NXT title?
Just bigger.
Huh?
Bigger, better, in my world. happy National Bucket List Day, by the way, of course.
Oh, is that what it is?
Indeed. What's the deal with buckets, though, huh?
Buckets? Well, a bucket is a rather wide receptacle that can be used to put things in. I.e. cement, I think, gets in a bucket and then they pour it in and they build the houses. And then,
that's how it's done.
That's how it's done. Sand. A bucket can be a tool for manual work and a toy for children to build sand castles. Here's something. Where were you born, Stax?
America.
Whereabouts in America were you born, Stax? Because... You're saying you're in a different part of the world. Mm. Put it this way, you were born in America. You were not born, Starks, in the northeast of England.
Let me just check that fact. Raleigh, North Carolina. I remember it like it was the 3rd of March, 1997.
Jesus Christ, Starks. Yeah. You're just a pup.
Spring chicken.
13 was your first WrestleMania. That's quite something.
Bloody hell. Anyway, Stax.
Completely missed my birthday, you two. You didn't say nothing.
Sorry. When was it, sorry, Stax?
The 3rd of March. It was a Sunday, to be fair.
Yeah,
we only see on Tuesdays and Wednesdays every week.
Not yesterday, though. I went to the dentist.
Oh, how's it going?
Fine.
Good.
I have a feeling you, to be fair, Stax, you won't know what the deal is with birthdays until next year.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. So you don't know what a birthday is. That's fine. He doesn't know much, but he learns quick. He's a quick learner.
One thing a week.
Yeah, and he really picks it up quickly.
He does.
We have established this. So, buckets in addition.
Later, Mike, 2025 is a Monday.
Cool. So
want to do Raw?
Sounds good.
So in addition to being a tool and a toy, okay, you won't know this because being from a completely different part of the world to the northeast of England.
Well, North Carolina.
You're kind of a Geordie at heart now because you're a frequent visitor, but you're a flying visit, so you don't really get to ingratiate yourself into the culture. A bucket is also a slang term in this part of the world, in these woods, for a very crude device with which you imbibe marijuana. It's kind of a crude bong-like structure. Oh, there's a blast on that bucket, man. Oh, stoned already, man. That's what they say up here.
Give us a blast on the bucket, man.
Well, hang on. You've got a very thick
North Carolina accent.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay.
Ah, give us a blast on that bucket, man.
But can you do...
420 earlier this week, of course.
It was.
Yeah. Can you do, in your voice, the Geordie that you've heard from me for years now? Not really. You're a fast learner, we get it.
Indeed. Better accents than Willie, of course.
Yeah.
No, he's great.
You know, I almost didn't make it into the podcast today. I went to hop on the old plane, and I saw someone had tipped a bucket of mayonnaise over it. I was like, what the hell, man? Huh? Three questions, three jokes for you.
I'm sure that wouldn't stop a plane, really.
Maybe a bucket of mayonnaise on a plane.
Digi, question joke number one. Why did the general throw a bucket of water over a bunch of soldiers? Picture that.
The general threw a bucket of water over a bunch of soldiers because they... war...
A bunch of soldiers.
That's a bucket of water, because that would wake you up and they wear fatigues.
Whoa. Explore that avenue, Sitch.
Well, because they were fatigued.
Yeah, as in their uniforms.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because they were fatigued.
Good!
Bugger!
Why did the general throw a bucket of water over a bunch of soldiers? Because he wanted to wash his privates. Huh?
Yeah, that's good.
I have a question, joke number two. What's grey and comes in buckets?
An elephant.
Horny elephant.
You got a button for this one.
Bingo!
Shout out to Nelly. Could be the last one ever. Final question, final joke for you, Sigi. How is a sexy lady a little bit like a bucket of KFC?
It's a finger looking good.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Good, but not right.
Oh, God.
How is a sexy lady a bit like a bucket of KFC? Because once you pass the tender breasts and the juicy thighs, all you got is a greasy wet box to put your bone in. See you later, guys.
That's vile stocks, man. Come on. You gotta be saying stuff like that. It's not on. I'm disgusted. Bye, stocks.
Very disappointing. Maybe forever.
Guys, they're going to the battleground by the looks of things.
What do you think lost us the spot?
I think they said we were too edgy, I think was the term they used. Where'd you get up to?
I don't know, man.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Corbin's backstage.
Oh, God.
Doing a video shoot.
I really think he's funny.
Anyway, Lexus King showed up, said from one king to another, fake one. He's got him a leaving basket. Corbin says, I'm not leaving. Lexus says bronze on SmackDown, and Corbin's just going to lash himself onto the next second generation start. He says he leaves, and Corbin says he's an idiot and his beard's not real to set up a match for them later on.
Yep, not very good. All the stunk.
And Damien Priest's music hit when he was about to cash in at WrestleMania. I was so. I think I blacked out a bit and I almost missed the cash in itself because I just couldn't come round. Anyway.
Jada Parker versus Fallon Henley.
Bad match.
You're not great.
Oh, God, no, this is good.
Fallon Henley.
I don't know what I'm talking about. It was bad. My mind's got askew.
Fallon Henley got some near falls, but in the end, Parker sent her throat first into the ropes and hit the teardrop hip attack for the 1-2-3.
Just zero chemistry. It was, you know, impromptu build-up. Locker room fight stuff. Not good. Not good. Fallon Henley is supposed to be losing as the veteran who should be doing better.
Mm.
Got to wrestle like it too. Sorry. Wasn't good.
It's just clunky and not good at all.
We get a promo from JC Jane. She says when she hears Thea's name, she thinks ungrateful. She gave Thea a ticket to the hottest attraction, but... she must have hit her head because there was no thank you. Thea should be kissing the ground she walks on and begging on her hands and knees for her wisdom. But she's an ungrateful little girl and Jace is going to make her repay the debt next week. I can't wait for this.
I can't wait for
this. I think it should be good. They build it for bloody
it's been so well promoted. Yes.
1 year in the making.
We get a vignette by Lola Vice ahead of the NXT Underground contract signing. She basically says she's going to be a legend, become a legend at Natalya's expense. And then we get a word from JD McDonough, who's got history with Ilya Dragunov, says you basically have to hospitalize him to win and trick, isn't that guy? And then New Catch Republic said, well, they were both split, actually. Pete Dunne said Ilya was going to win, but Tyler Bate got very giddy and said he was going to whoop that trick. Trick Williams was going to get the win.
I honestly forgot about JD McDonough's NXT run somehow. He was like the wink behind the glasses.
Oh, yes.
The dissections.
Of course. Was he hanging upside down? Yeah. Like a bat?
This is
flooding
back.
I think it's NXT UK they're talking about.
It all came flooding back.
I didn't remember yesterday. I mentioned the Dragunov match as a sort of, in spite of JD McDonagh, the match was great. Like, we were talking about Dragunov as the ace, realistically, of this whole show. And their match was the moment I was like, all right, fine. He might have still have something. Maybe. It's because he worked with Dragunov. Turned out he didn't.
Then a really fun part. It was the NXT Underground contract signing. Ava's at the podium. She hasn't got sent in. She's Rock's daughter and the general manager of NXT, hence why she was hosting this. Says one of the most important parts of her job is continuing to push into the new era and break the glass ceiling. That's why Natalya's here. she's honoured to host the contract signing. Carmen Petrovic is out there with Natalya as well. She's going to be in her corner. Natalya signs, calls out Lola Vice. She comes out on her own. Lola signs the contract and says, it's official. History's been made. Natalya says, who's in your corner? And Lola says, don't worry about that. Worry on what I'm going to do to you next week. Just because I shake my ass doesn't mean I can't kick some ass.
Next week, we're going to make history. Next week, I'm going to break Natty. And Natty says, I knew when I met you that you've got an ego that needs to be kept in check. I respect that Lola, although you came from cage fighting, but you don't respect that I came from the dungeon. You don't respect the business.
FCW.
And if Lola is going to lead stars into the future, then she's going to beat some respect into her. And next week, she wants Lola to break everything she has because she's going to tap her ass out. Lola says, look, Natty, you can try, but when the lights dim, your fate is in my hands. I'm the fastest in the division, and my training partner is going to make me even better and faster and what have you. Shayna Baszler returns to NXT. Gets a great reaction. She gets a welcome back chant, of course. She says, Natty is smart enough to tell from the atmosphere that her chances have just gone from slim to none. The baddest woman in NXT is aligned with the baddest woman in WWE. She says you should probably tear up the contract, Natty, especially Carmen Petrovic is your training partner. Shayna shoves Carmen, who kicks Shayna in the head, and Shayna does a brilliant sell of this kick. All breaks down to a brawl, and the babyfaces clear the ring, basically.
Shayna Baszler, to her immense credit, showed an unbelievable amount of ass, considering she was just put herself over as the killer of this show, and then one boot to the head, and she goes down like a sack. Like, that was really good stuff in trying to actually help people. From as Natalia is doing, you know, she gets a bit of grief, but that's the whole point of this.
It's all from him.
Yeah, well, like, Lola Vice is somebody they've identified as somebody worth this kind of push, and you would think both her and Carmen Petrovic will be in better shape as a result of this. Not bad.
No.
Like, honestly, not bad. I like the way it looked. Like, we take the piss, but I think, like, NXT Underground is yet more stupidity to look forward to next week. Broadly a success, all of this.
He can kind of build interest in a match, can Sean, can't he?
Yeah.
He's got a way. He's got a way of doing it.
Either an in-ring segment with a surprise main roster appearance or 9 months of a fictional university and a good girl gone bad.
Yeah.
There's lots of ways to skin the cat. As Sean showed you in Royal Rumbles.
Speaking of building interest, Ridge Bully Ollins walking about earlier. Says it's... It's been a rough few months, but it's now time to stack up some victories and find success the right way. Sean Spears appears.
Thought you were tired.
He's going to find victories the right way by rendering people unconscious for at least 3 seconds when that's what sends them into a spiral. It doesn't work.
No, it's stupid. It's completely stupid, but it's goated, isn't it? Well worn.
Sean Spears tells him to give in to the thoughts, or better yet, let them out. And Ridge Holland says, you can't round,
things.
Can't round me up, I'll be seeing you. And just leaves.
Give in to the thoughts.
Cave my head in.
Yeah.
Go on. And then I win. What's worse? They're both bad. They're both diabolical, in fact. Sean Spears just wanting to get CTE. Or Chris Jericho just being flatly uninterested. The fictional character in his own career. Like, who can I make star? Who can I make star? What is he, Simon Cowell? Do you know what I mean?
Do you think the Sean Spears thing is like, gets hit so hard with a chair that you see him in like NXT hospital, wherever that is, NXT local medical facility, and the doctors are like, he's come round, but his eyes are like, we don't know where he is. He's like, sir, can you count to 10? And he just starts doing that with his hands, and that's how Ty Dillinger comes back. That's what all this has been about.
Great bit of booking that.
Thank you.
There's a segment even with Final Testament.
Oh my God, no.
Karen Cross says, we're going to take you back to the good old days. We're living in them. You don't have to take me back anywhere. We're in the good old days.
I was looking at Karen Cross thinking, you've literally never been in good old days. I've seen them all. I've not had a good one yet.
The good old days where he kind of torpedoed NXT's viewership and perception as a... Obviously, AEW had a lot to do with this. But NXT still produced shows that were well-received at the time, like the December 18... Dynamite, remember what I posted? People loved that show.
Yeah.
They were still fighting for that title, and then the sign Cross.
Cross was good in that champion match.
Of professional wrestling.
Champion match was good, yeah. Champion gave him everything.
And then, that's a good old day. And then, not the good old days.
Yeah. The good old day, what, in your house? Like, and then we had Keith Lee's Spooky Fire contract. Oh! I don't think I'm into this anymore, Karrion.
Karrion Cross has got a phobia of getting over.
Sean Spears gets going. Open up your heart to being good, mate. You can do it.
Paul Ennering says, AOP's destiny is clear. The Final Testament is coming for all the titles. That will be their dynasty. Oh, how convenient that they're saying that this week. And then we cut back to the locker room where there is the tag champs, who are, of course, Nathan Fraser.
When I'm cleaning windows.
And his tag partner, Axiom.
No!
Axiom's not happy. Fraser says, they're monsters and they're coming after our tag. It's not Space Jam. Although, they're coming after
our... That would never work in a wrestling context.
Come on, Sean.
Come on, Sean.
Love Space. I started watching Space Jam again the other day. It's class. Eric wasn't even around. Anyway.
When the film was made, I should hope not.
No. Malik Blade isn't happy.
Come
about
on, Sam. And welcome to the
Jack.
Space
Cat. Space Cat.
Space Cat. Come on, Sam. Slip.
Malik Blade, anyway, isn't happy.
Daffy Dick.
Yeah, what's up, Dick?
Bugs Bunny. Space Jam. Bugs Bunny, what can we do with that?
What's up, Dick? What's up, Dick?
Yeah, what's up, Dick? What are the other characters? We'll do the actual characters first.
Pork Pig.
What's it called?
It's Pork Pig. And he's
Pork the Pig.
Can't remember the other Looney Tunes.
Isn't it like the chicken? He's like, see you now, are you here?
Oh, what was he called?
The Dead Man. Go on a Space Jam wiki. Come on, let's have some fun with this.
That's proper Undertaker as well. Like, I took that personally.
Take everything personally.
Elmer Fudd.
Elmer
Foghorn Leghorn. That's just got horn in it twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on.
Elmer
Daffy Duck, the Tasmanian Devil.
The Jazz Mag.
Jazz Mag reading Devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Porky Pig, Tweety Pie.
I mean, there's pie in there.
Yeah, pie.
Marvin the Martian. Sylvester, Pussycat, Senior.
Come on. Come on, guys.
Come on. Yosemite Sam.
You'll sit on me, Sam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner.
Willy Coyote.
Mm-hmm.
Child Runner.
Child Runner, that's good. Wile E. Coyote, there's got to be another one for that. I don't know what it is, though.
Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
And Lola Bunny needs no introduction.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I'll miss this podcast. I really will miss this podcast. We had a good run.
Anything of Bill Murray?
Bill Murray. No, I don't mean PH.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, this, I remember. So they're monsters. They're coming after the titles. Malik Blade. Our boys, you just know from Malik Blade there. And they're like, well, bloody fed up with all these main roster teams. And Carl Anderson and Luke Gallagher's like, yeah. What a life they have.
Nice bit, that.
And then Idris and Efe smashes a mirror. So that's a note to remember for next week. They're cursed now.
Well, that's 7 years of bad luck.
Yes.
Well, that's a game for next week. Yes. What unlucky thing can they... What will befall them?
Or will Brindley Reese save them from each?
Shawn Michaels booking a smashed mirror. Is this to summon Marty Jannetty to NXT? All-timer angle.
He ain't doing so well. He's doing things that he shouldn't on digital interviews. But you can see the evidence.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, while we're talking around it, he claims to have done cocaine in an interview with Steve Fall.
In an interview with Steve Fall, which you can check out on the internet.
Don't.
Steve Fall tries his best to keep this train on the tracks.
Mm.
But
it's like watching two different species interact.
It was like on all the clickbait thumbnails of this interview. So this is not us reporting it. It's simply on this interview. He's like, I went around to a party. Hulk Hogan sat with, and he just had pills in an M&M dispenser. It's like, Diddy Martin. He's like, welcome to the sweet shop. It's all drugs, brother. 20p.
One of the highlights of the night for me came next. It was the Beach Brawl match. Blair Davenport versus Sol Ruka. Just full of gimmicks, this, and that's why I loved it, I think. They start off outside the ring. Sol hit Blair with a surfboard, and then we call it a bodyboard, I think, but the Americans call it a boogie board, and I prefer boogie board. So that's what Blair came back with. She also bat away a beach ball, but then got trapped in an inflatable ring.
Oh, my God.
Sol did the splits on the apron to dodge some shots and kicked Blair down. There was a picnic bench that looked like it would have sucked to take a bump into.
Why?
It's a picnic at the beach, I suppose. Then there was just a good old-fashioned chair. You know, the steel chairs that you see at the beach.
At the beach, yeah.
Got a horrible feeling that's going to be quite hot if you leave the sun just blazing down on it all day.
They actually have deck chairs and sunbeds. They couldn't trouble themselves to get a couple of them instead of a steel chair, could they?
Yeah.
There's always these and these gimmicks.
The opposite things of the thing you'd want at the beach. Oh, a nice steel chair.
Yeah.
I get really hot in the sun, that. Really, really burn your ass.
Wendy Chu's lights out match. With all things you need to go to sleep, such as the kept tray Mark Hendo stick.
Yes.
Try just a bit harder. This was good, actually. I'm shooting on it. This was good.
No, it wasn't.
I really like
crap.
It was great, man.
Well, basically, Sol told Blair Davenport, welcome to the ball pit, with a face buster into the kiddie pool to take us to a break. Oh, no, actually, before that, she put a surfboard on Blair and did a double stomp.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I love this match. More boogie board shots as we come back. Standing moonsault from Sol Ruka gets a two count. They exchange some super kicks. Sol Ruka hit a spinning powerbomb for two, but Davenport came back with a German suplex. They're outside. Blair set up the surfboard and tried to throw Sol into it, but she reversed. She does the walk along the guardrail spot, but she got pushed off that. It looks like Blair's going to put her through a table with this beach covering on it. But Sol fought her off, got her on the shoulders, backpack dropped her through the picnic table, sent her in and hit an awesome springboard Sol Snatcher for the 1-2-3.
I love how seemingly at no point is the question asked, what are we doing here?
I felt that a bit in the second half when it got a bit moves heavy for my liking.
No, I thought about it.
Stick to the weapons.
Mm. I just thought, half the stuff wouldn't really hurt. It's just, it's just the tone of an ostensibly serious. I mean, I loved it because it was bad.
Yeah.
I'm watching this, getting it wrong, expression in my face because, my God, it's meant to be this big vengeance moment after you've been put on the shelf for 9 months. Oh, let's get your face in that ball pit. I'll show you. What? I love as well how it's not like a council-funded park match. Why is there a park bench there? Gimmick a surfboard and make it snap in half so it makes a nice noise and it's a good visual. Like a park bench draped on an apron. That looked, as you said, it looked awful to take.
Yeah. But the way the beach ball bounced off the head was really impressive. It went flying. Like, Sol Ruka didn't sell it, at least. Yeah. I liked looking at this a great deal. Very, very, very silly and brightly coloured weapons. There was a point where, after the break, when you were taking the piss with how many wrestling moves you were suddenly doing, having just accepted these terms as normal. So we're going to have this fight, and it's around all these kids' toys. A soft play fight with the occasional very, very, very difficult to negotiate weapon. And then for a couple of minutes, we'll exchange holds and moves. I hated that bit. And it was such a disconnect. But then we got back to the good stuff for the finish. So they got there. I honestly, out of all of this as well, the debut of the Sol Snatcher that isn't in the corner, impressive. Obviously something she's practiced. Makes that finisher better than it already was and less contrived than it already was. You know, like when Rey Mysterio faced a 619 around the ring post or something. Ooh, a new element to this.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of athleticism. Like that.
We get a lovely moment. Trick's on the phone with his mom. Trick says he's going to fight, and she needs to do it as well. She says to whoop that Trick. Johnny Gargano shows up, sits down. Trick says the pressure's on. No pressure, no diamonds, basically. Trick should use his pain, use it as a weapon. This is a new Trick Williams, basically. He hasn't beaten this one. Winning the title, says Gargano, took every ounce of him to do it. Trick says he's ready, and they have a nice moment together.
Can I just say as well, I haven't really made this point clear enough for him. I don't think I've even made it at all. This stuff throughout the night was genuinely really inspired.
Yeah.
It made it seem like a really big match, like it was literally the epicenter of this entire fictional universe, as it should have been. You're trying to make your big breakthrough babyface, who, you know, if he actually gets really good in the ring on his own terms without the best opponent, he could be the biggest male success story in the history of this entire building. This was really well done throughout. Mm-hmm. Really, really well done, I have to say.
There's no rules for when this device works, is there? It's either just got to feel authentic or not. And because it was Trix Crown and it felt authentic.
Yeah. It felt like this is the reason why NXT 2.0 was existed.
Yeah.
Even though it's not called that and hasn't been for some time.
The metaphor of some TikTok of them trying to go to a show or something. Mm. Yeah. Breakdown. And the boys couldn't fix it, but Lash could, thanks. Then it was time for Alexis King versus Baron Corbin.
Skip.
That's a good one.
Yeah, King tried to cheat with his feet on the ropes, got caught. Then the ref almost got bumped, and that distraction allowed him to low blow Corbin and hit him with the coronation.
And I can't think of it any more succinctly, between the pace, the moves you saw, the order they did them in, and just how it dragged. And I was like, are you sure that's not the finish, lads? If you've botched it, just like walk out the ring. I don't have to see more of this. This was absolutely exactly what you think a Baron Corbin versus Lexus King match looks like, to such a numbing extent. You have to wonder who's pitching this and why they're still employed.
It's just going to be rough.
How, like, was this ever going to be good?
No.
It was so bland and plodding and heatless and uninteresting. Whoever pitched this needs to be shot.
Is there...
Thanks for that sweet PLE payday, though. Well, not PLE. Well, I don't know. Was it a TV special count as a...
I don't know. Spring break in payday. As good as the vignettes have been and the squashes have been, like, the jury's out on newly minted main roster babyface Bron Breakker, and this was just a bit sad. The Wolf Dogs mourning period continues when what you could do is just have them be together on the main roster.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Again, I don't want to bury Bron Breakker because we've just got started. And, like, signs are good, but not exciting good. Just solid start. This was bad, as in bad.
This was bad together. This was the band is continuing to tour after the lead star singer has left.
Yeah.
What are you still doing, boys? What are you still doing, guys?
Especially if they're not the band have even fallen out. Just literally get the band back together.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know whether they're just thinking, well, we'll draft Corbin in the draft, so we might as well give Lexus King a win before he leaves NXT.
That's a point, actually, yeah. But SmackDown could draft him, couldn't they?
Like you say, no one's going to be like, bloody hell. Got Corbin now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Right, we get a little moment with Dragunov before the world title match. He says he's up forever on Bazeek Bar. And Damian Priest walks up and says, good luck, champ. And then they do the nice walk and talk with Trick and Byron Saxton. Says, look, it's all on the line tonight. Win tonight or I'll leave NXT for good. Champion or bust. He's going to fight. And he fears no man. He's okay tonight, good or bad. As his mama said, let's whoop that Trick. And the audience were just going mental for him, weren't they, throughout the night. And then we got Trick Williams versus Dragunov for the NXT title. If Trick loses, he is gone from NXT. We've obviously seen these two work together before. Nice bit of back and forth early on. They trade some kicks to the face. Dragunov hit a running DDT and the Constantine special got a two count. He also got a powerbomb. Also a nice moment after that. They go get to their feet, forehead to forehead. It's a nice embrace. They've been through this war many times and then they just start trading fists. Ilya off the ropes with a knee to the jaw.
This is Shawn Michaels' production.
Yes.
And Dragunov looked buzzed to be able to play out, didn't he? Hate and love are very close together.
I got the bug. Acting bug.
There was a rough bump when they came back from the break. I don't know what happened here. Dragunov was going for a sunset bomb and Williams just sort of landed on his chest and the ref immediately went to check on it. Yeah. So glad they're both all right after that. Anyway, Dragunov comes back. He's clearly fine because he hit a coast-to-coast missile dropkick for a two count afterwards. But Trick Williams came back and hit an H-bomb on a Torpedo Moscow of his own, which was a nice change of pace. Dragunov kicked him in the head and hit a Death Valley driver into the corner as well. All this,
really great.
Loaded up the announce table, teased putting Trick through it, but Williams countered him and basically gave him a rock bottom off the barricade through the announce test to a huge PIP. They get back in the ring. Ilya's up top. Huge superplex. H-bomb. He grabs the foot, pulls him into the corner. Another big H-bomb. He thinks he's got the match won. But Trick Williams kicks out, and Ilya can't believe it. So he goes back up, blows another kiss, another H-bomb. That's it. But in the process of hitting the H-bomb,
He's in a bit of pain, so he takes a brief second to recover.
Do you think there's some LTST with what's this damage Stax did to his hands? Because that's... He was pulling up after the table spot. It was... Oh. So he's doing.
Yeah. Nobody will credit Stax for this.
Nope.
Except on this podcast.
So Trick kicks out again. Crowd are thinking that he might finally have a chance. Ilya hit a German suplex, but Trick got right back up and hit a knee to Ilya's back for two. And they both set up in the corners in a wonderful callback to a phenomenal wrestling match. That was Ilya Dragunov versus Trick Williams, of course. Who can hit the finishing shot? And it's Trick Williams. He hits the Trick shot knee. 1, 2, 3. He's the new world champion. Dragunov grabs the title, and he's the person to give it to Trick Williams with a nice embrace as well. Trick Williams slays the Mad Dragon. He's the new NXT champion.
Like, all joking aside from that finish, because you said there'd been a bit of discourse today, it was a nice callback because it was a good finish at Vengeance Day, and it was better here because Trick has learned. That was a very simple basic story being well told. So I'll steer away from any of that. This was a...
People showed their arse.
Yeah.
So what in terms of...
Because it happened, 48 hours, 48 hours after the Ospreay Danielson moment. People thought because they just ripped off that sequence really close to the finish, when in fact it was a callback to the previous match, and you could argue, I don't think Danielson or Ospreay would have watched it.
I don't imagine so.
I just think two incredible wrestling brands, Will Born, have independently arrived at the same spot.
I agree.
Only a good match, but an amazing crowning, and you can't have that in wrestling. I think it wasn't the best Trick and Dragunov match, I don't think.
By far, but not the best.
But the story and the way Trick has evolved from wrestling Dragunov showed itself here, and it was the perfect way to crown him. It was a really cool TV title win, to Sidge's point about how they built throughout the show. You don't get that much, really, because they steer away from a lot of major title changes on TV anyway. And I think because you knew this was going to happen, they thought, right, everyone knows what the finish is going to be. Let's just make you anticipate that more with the build over the course of 2 hours. And you just don't get a lot of it in wrestling anymore because it is saved for pay-per-view, or it is saved for the, I know they're not takeovers anymore, but the takeover cycle pretty much. So this was the best kind of crowning for Trick Williams, because for all that, it's great to see him get these amazing reactions in these big buildings on these PLE specials. This building, oddly, does have a bit of Trick lore, wasn't it? It was in there where we were just asked to pretend that he'd been with Mello all along.
Yeah.
It was in there where the crowd first really gravitated to him and showed the rest of the world how to enjoy whoop that Trick and all that sort of stuff. So he did feel like he was in the right place for it. The contrast of Trick Williams being amongst that crowd, which we know, I mean, since we talked about yesterday, are just staring at an air conditioning unit, a grey wall, right? And how much they were just, they wouldn't want it to be anywhere in the world but there versus the audience in a full building at Monday Night Raw, and kind of like, all right, well done, Becky. Those two celebrations were night and day. Like, a really impressive presentation of a just good match.
Yeah, they, to quote Tony Storm, couldn't hold a pussy-scented candle to their previous match at...
Vengeance Day.
I mean, that match was, I just thought, was great.
Yeah.
This was, in terms of the way it was built, as again I mentioned, it felt like the epicenter of the entire universe. Every single character within that world was invested. Really great job of the promotion and the presentation and build. The match itself, while not great, and really I thought the melodrama was so goddamn annoying. Like, Shawn Michaels just had to Shawn Michaels it.
I didn't like the hook. Made me feel weird.
Yeah, he just had to Shawn Michaels it, and it really pissed me off. But I just forgot about that because I just really liked Trick Williams. And I thought, just get into the match, get into it. Ultimately, if you look at the arc of Trick Williams, how they've intersected, definitely dovetailed, that grudge feud with Carmelo Hayes, how he did what Carmelo Hayes couldn't do, ultimately proved himself the better wrestler and the better man by beating Dragunov. Really good booking stuff. Genuinely, a triumph of star creation from Cougar of the Year, Michael Hickenbottom.
With to pay off 1 week after the other and survive a steel cage. It's perfect babyface.
Yeah.
Plotting, isn't it?
I think it's a bit rushed because we've got to get Carmelo and Ilya the hell out of here. But ultimately, from day one of Trick to everything else, what a masterful job they've done of creating a star here. He just needs to get better.
Really happy for Trick Williams, though. Let us know your thoughts on everything Spring Breaking Night 1, dude, in the comment section below.
Oh, yeah, so the week of this, do not worry at all.
Or on X, at WhatCultureWWE. Actually, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The Dynamite preview is available right now, and we'll be back next week to preview and review night two of Spring Breaking. But for now, this has been the night one review. My thanks to Hamflett, Sidgwick, and Stax. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.